We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and Facebook at Social Capital with Lori Hybe. All links mentioned will be found in the show notes. This week's guest is Jeremy Bear. Jeremy started Tecton Engineers, a structural engineering firm, in late 2014. Tecton Engineers provides structural engineering services to building industry professionals, with their target market being architects, manufacturers, contractors, developers, and other engineers. The company has grown to 5 people and is poised for significant growth in the next year. Jeremy graduated from NDSU in 2005 with a Bachelor of Science and from the University of Minnesota in 2010 with a Master of Science in Civil Engineering. Jeremy has worked for a number of engineering firms, both small and large, prior to starting Tecton Engineers. He enjoys running his business, spending time with his family, reading, and traveling. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to talking to your pod listeners.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you. Let's get started here with regards to just business and growth question. What are some of the metrics you use to determine the future growth of your industry?
Yeah, so as you mentioned in my bio, we're a structural engineering company, so we're tied pretty heavily to the building and construction industry. So a lot of those metrics are our metrics. So when the building industry does well, we do well. When the manufacturing industry does well, we do well, et cetera. And metrics apply to both industries. There can be a lot of them, such as low interest rates and the value of the dollar, general optimism of the industry. But the real one that I try to look at is less just the pure number and just sort of a sense of the optimism in the economy. Because our business, lives and dies by really the long-term view that companies are taking of the economy. Since investing in a building is a very, very, very big investment, very high capital investment. And in order to justify that, you have to have a fairly long-term view of what you see coming down the future. You have to be fairly confident in that. So I would say that the largest one that I would say is more so relevant to how our industry is going to do is just the general mood and optimism that people have in general about if we're going to invest in the future.
All right. So what do you think will be the economic and political environment for small business in the next few years here?
Yeah. So I think that regardless of whether or not I was happy with exactly how 2016 turned out, it's been a crazy year to be sure. And I think that one of the things that we read a lot about in various business journals and self-improvement books and all of that kind of stuff is to reimagine possibilities, not limit ourselves to our preconceived notions of what's possible and what isn't possible. And I think that 2016 changed a lot of that for a lot of people. We as small businesses, I think, can be in, I think 2016 can challenge us to rethink our preconceived notions about what's possible and what's not, what is not possible. And so I think that the years ahead are going to be ones where we really just have to figure out new ways to capitalize on things that maybe we would not have thought were possible, just even 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, that is
in general, it's a great time to be. I think it's really the time to challenge preconceived notions, and that I think we're going to find a lot of startup companies. companies and, you know, even large companies trying to do just that, reimagine what's possible. Those that can figure things are going to do pretty well.
Oh, I like that. I mean, I think that's so much truth to that too, is with regards to just figuring out new ways to, you know, well, for profitability's sake, but just to grow. And I mean, that's innovation at its finest right there. And I think that in this strong technology driven world right now, the potential is very much limitless.
And I think it's, I think that those innovations, you know, I think that there are some pretty big opportunities coming with that, coming along, whether it be healthcare or just general IT and, you know, international marketing and business. I think that there's some really great opportunities that are coming out that we don't frankly know what they are right now. And I think it's whoever can identify them and capitalize on them first is going to be very successful.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, so I'm going to switch to a little bit more fun question here. You commented your bio, you mentioned that you loved traveling. So what is your favorite travel destination?
My favorite, I have two cities that I really love to travel to. Even though it's been a little while since I've been to either of them. The first one is Paris, the second one is Rome. I fell in love with Paris a number of years ago when I was there studying French very briefly, and it really took my breath away, because it was the first really international city that I traveled to and had lived in for any length of time. And as a structural engineer, it's particularly fascinating, the old Gothic architecture that you find throughout Paris. Just the Gothic architecture is very intriguing to structural engineers because of its use of engineering principles. And then Rome also, I love to travel to. It's been a while. The last time I was actually there was back in 2011. But it is just sort of the different influences that kind of makes it one of the cradles of Western civilization. And you see a lot of obviously a lot of Roman ruins, a lot of religious influence, a lot of historical artifacts that sort of tie together the vast story of human history in one city. And they're always finding new things. You can go back 5 years later and find new sites that they've uncovered, and just find that whole period of human history very, very fascinating.
So when's the next time you're going to be traveling again? It's been 5 years since you've been to Rome. You seem to be infatuated with that location.
Yeah, well, as you know, Lori, being a small business owner, sometimes you have to put those things in the back burner. But we're hoping to do so the next couple of years. I traveled over there with my wife, and this time it would be with the kids as well. So we will. Planning is a little bit more complicated, but I hope to do so the next few years.
Well, make sure you make time for that. That's so important to put in, some of that vacation time and rest and relaxation, but I totally understand.
Yeah.
All right. So let's switch gears and talk about networking a little bit. Can you share with me your most successful networking story or experience that you've had?
Yeah. So I have two of them that I'll try to tell. So back in 2010, we were kind of still in the economic slump. I ended up getting, I was a young engineer, of course, and got laid out from my job, and started looking for a new job. And then a friend of mine told me about a position that someone was looking to fill in a city about an hour and a half away. So outside of the Minneapolis, St. Paul area, down in Rochester, Minnesota, where the Mayo Clinic is. And I wasn't quite so keen necessarily on moving to Rochester, but I decided to go down to the interview anyway, and just to kind of see what came of it. And I had a very good interview, and we got to talking, and just sort of came to the conclusion that that if I wasn't going to move to Rochester, it just really wasn't the right position. But still had a great interview, had a great time interviewing with the owner of the company. And a few days later, I got a call from another company, an architectural and structural engineering company located in a smaller town of Northfield, Minnesota, which is about 45 minutes south of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And they were looking to hire somebody, very, very, and had gotten my contact information through a friend that the owner had gotten my contact information through a friend of his to be the owner of this other engineering company down in Rochester. So we did the interview and got hired on the spot. And why that's relevant, in addition to just being an interesting network, I've since stayed in Northfield, and that's where I decided to start all business a couple of years ago, where we started Tectonic. And that would not, none of that would really have happened without that first seemingly futile interview, or that long shot interview that I went to go do in Rochester, Minnesota. And then the second one, the personal one, is how I had met my wife through a mutual friend. And after we had started to get to know each other a little bit, we realized that I had actually known a lot of her family members, extended family members, her cousins, some of her aunts and uncles, even just through other personal connections, never met her. And it was, maybe to tell the story of timing, that it was actually very fortuitous, because had we met at a different time, it would have been the wrong time. But yet, having all of that, having all those other connections with her extended family, ended up being an important part of our relationship going forward. So, the power of timing and networking is also very, very important.
Well, those are two fantastic stories. Meeting your wife and knowing that you've had kind of this history already with her family, that's not very common, but that's not a bad thing as long as the history is positive. Right.
Fortunately, it was.
That's good. But I mean, the first story you shared, that's, I would say, somewhat uncommon as well, but a fantastic success in that, you know, you went to a job interview even though you weren't planning on moving, but you created such a powerful impression and impact that you found your next job just by word of mouth. I mean, you probably didn't even know this other opportunity existed.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that is a fantastic story. Thank you so much for sharing that. All right. So, you know, as we continue to grow and build our networks, it's also important to nurture and stay in front of our network. How do you do that? How do you stay in front of your network?
Yeah, well, it can be very difficult to with busy schedules, and but I try to do it in two different ways. One through my own personal efforts, and then the second branch of that is using my employees' efforts also to stay in contact with clients, like in this case, also potential clients. So leveraging their own networks, whether it be professional or personal, making it a deliberate part of our company culture to keep those contacts alive. But on a personal level, I try to make sure that, you know, that we do the standard, you know, several touches per year. But I also try to make sure that each one of them receives like some sort of contact from me in more than one form, like. Whether it's in, you know, a lot of them will get, you know, something in the mail and an email and a phone call, and if possible, also some sort of an in-person interaction. So I try to have four different forms for that contact. And if each get one contact in each one of those forms per year, I think that's usually pretty successful.
Oh, I think that's fascinating. I mean, one, you're getting four different touches. So you're touching base with your primary network at least four different times throughout the year, which is, I would say, pretty ambitious, actually. I've seen as some people, you know, in my own personal network, I know I haven't talked to in years, but to stay in touch with them at least four times a year. That's fascinating. But what I love is that you're doing this in different forms or different mediums. You're using direct mail. You're using email, which is probably the simplest form, you know, picking up the phone and having a conversation. And then I would say most important is that in-person discussion. So that's fascinating. Thank you.
And of course, in person and phone call is, you can't always do that with everybody. We have limited time and opportunity, but my philosophy behind it is one of, just how different people, from learning philosophies, right? So sometimes some people are very visual, some people are, learn better by listening. And so by being able to combine, the most effective learning methods are when you combine, the visual with writing and hearing and all of that together. And so I think that to marketing or trying to have people in different formats, kind of create a better picture than just focusing on the one.
So your messaging isn't just, hey, how's it going? You're trying to add some sort of value. It sounds like you're teaching them or you're educating them on what's happening in the industry or maybe just what's happening in your world on some level.
Yeah, mostly it is making ourselves, first and foremost, reminding them that we're available to help solve their problems. Mm-hmm. and to just creating that feeling of availability that we're there when they need us. The frequency of the touches just comes down to, you never really know when the right time is going to hit. And it's usually more in the in-person or phone call when we're talking that we'll talk more about, current events and, adding some of that advice, information, that type of thing that in our mailings necessarily. Because a lot of times what I found is that, these are people that already know what we do. It's not necessarily like first touch, marketing or cold calling or anything like that. And so by making ourselves available, what I don't want to happen sometimes is that, people see something and then just kind of throw it away because it takes too long to read. Or something like that. So instead, it's just like, a straight to the point, simple marketing brochure or postcard or something like that.
Nice. Yeah, that's really nice. And this is a good transition to my next question here with regards to digital networking or traditional networking. Which one do you find more value in?
Yeah, so for us, so far, we've found more of the traditional networking to be a little more valuable, but I've found that we tend to incorporate more digital research than actual digital marketing. The digital networking, we've found, at least so far, is a good traditional network. Traditional networking. If we have a good website or just other social media, a certain amount of social media presence, that's a way for people to establish a certain amount of credit. But it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare, although it has happened. But it is pretty rare that we're just sort of contacted out of the loop through our website or something like that. Usually it's because of word of mouth or because of someone that we've met. Is the typical way that we garner new business.
Okay. And that totally makes sense as far as traditional networking is more word of mouth or that in person. And it seems to be that the majority of your multiple touches are definitely more on that traditional side anyways, with the direct mail, the phone call, and the in person. So it makes sense that you're finding more successes in that area.
We've just had so far we haven't found that magic recipe, so to speak, replacing or making more prominent like a more digital social networking to gain new business. It's just been a support, but we haven't really found a way to turn it into that by itself to be a replacement or to take the forefront from like a more traditional network.
Well, and I would would agree that digital is very much kind of supporting activities of traditional. It's not necessarily, put all your eggs in this basket. It's supporting and kind of, like you said, having a really nice website. It's because people are doing research, just as you alluded to earlier, on your company and your brand, and the website is there to support that you're credible, you're experts, you have history, it's a support factor and tool. But obviously, depending on the industry that you're in, there's opportunities for straight successes with regards to strictly digital, and we've seen that. So I think it's very much based on the industry that you're in that will tie in digital versus that traditional. So very nice. All right. So what advice would you offer to the business professional who is looking to grow their network?
Well, I would say be strategic, but be generous at the same time. It's very easy to get caught up in a lot of different social activities that aren't necessarily really going to get you what you want. There's a gentleman within my professional network who is on pretty much every committee and social that I'm aware of. I find that he's a part of it in some way. And with him, that actually can make sense because of the business that he's in. But I've also seen other examples where it just kind of becomes a dissipating activity. So I would say, be strategic, but also be generous because you don't know where your next project is going to come from. Spend the time with the types of people that you want to be like or be similar to, and then also the type of people that are in the type of work where you can add value with your business.
I totally like that. The be strategic and generous at the same time. That's really important. I think that there needs to be, it's a balance that needs to be had because I know myself personally, I tend to be over generous and not necessarily totally strategic about where I put my time, but I want to help everyone. But putting in that strategy with regards to your network is very important. And I want to dive deeper into something that you said with regards to, associating yourself with those that you want to be like. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, pop psychology or whatever you want to call it, the dictum that, you're most like you're basically the average of you spend the most time with, or seven people, or whatever the exact number is. I think there's a lot of truth to that on both the personal side and the professional side. And by surrounding yourself with people, but also with clients that are going to help you grow professionally and help grow your company, perhaps a better strategic move than trying to chase every proposal, answer every RFP. And just spend a lot of effort trying to get whatever work might be out there, rather than cultivating those professional relationships that are not just going to supply you with steady work, but also help you grow your company, and that are actually also interested in seeing your company succeed. In our industry, in anything or professional industry, those relationships are key, and who you build those relationships with does have a large effect on the culture of your company. So I think being strategic about that is important.
So Jeremy, you just shared some fantastic insight here. I'm just going to reiterate it just to kind of reinforce it, I guess is the word I'm looking for here. So be strategic and generous with your time, which is just, it's very important information. But what I love is that you offered kind of a tactical approach to being strategic in identifying, you said, like the 5 to 7 people that you want to be like, or those that are kind of, they're being strategic themselves. So then you're going to kind of conform and mold into their structure because you're investing a lot of time with them. So that's fantastic as far as sharing how to be strategic and not just saying, you have to be strategic. So thank you very much. And I'm sure all of our listeners appreciate that. All right. So now I'm going to switch to a couple fun questions here. Let's start with, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Appreciate the moment a little bit more in general. It's amazing how those early years fly by and how formative they are. There are a lot of experiences that you have during those years. You really can't appreciate, you don't appreciate, always appreciate the depth and the influence that they're going to have later on in your life. I would say enjoy the moment, enjoy those experiences early on. But also be more deliberate about building a network. There are some people that sort of comes naturally to, that's not even naturally to me. I think it's very easy to just sort of go through and, you know, just meet whoever it is that you meet and be a little more passive about it than actively trying to search out, you know, the types of people that are going to help you career and help grow you as a person. And also just look at that knowing that you can build to help you get where you want to go in the future. Come up with a strategic plan to take advantage of that and just do it deliberately.
Oh, that's fantastic. So appreciate the moment, which is something that I can totally resonate with here as far as, you know, you just learn so much and you're just kind of taking it in and just moving forward. But it's good to kind of step back and realize like, wow, this stuff that I'm learning has been so influential in where I am today. So it's, you know, you kind of got to do that today too, you know, not just in the past.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Good to do that today.
Yeah, and even as a business owner, I found that it's very easy to get caught up in the moment and to get really, really focused on just the day-to-day operations of your business, or even getting focused on, you know, on the strategic planning and all of that. But I found that it's good to step back and just really enjoy where you are with your business at the moment. And, you know, regardless of the fact that you may have, you know, many future goals for your business, just enjoy the success that you have and appreciate it for what it is.
Absolutely. And then be more deliberate about building your network. And that is so true. I'm sure you've had these experiences as well, where people that you met, you know, years ago, you had no even inclination that they'd be impactful in your future. Now you're like, wow, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't know this person, or didn't have this person in my life.
Yeah, and it can also happen too, where you know, somebody that you met that maybe you should have kept a little bit better touch with, you know, because they ended up being very influential in their profession or in some other area, where knowing them and keeping up that relationship could have been, you know, very beneficial to both of you.
Absolutely, and that goes back to nurturing your network a little bit, even if it is that, you know, once a year email and coffee or something. All right. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. And now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Yeah. So the gentleman that I picked out, the owner, CEO of Alathis Development here in the Minneapolis area. His name is Bob Lux, and he's done a lot of very high-profile projects recently, and both in the Minneapolis area and also in the Rochester, Minnesota area. And just a great story of success and of having a great vision and of being able to execute that vision as a real estate developer. And I've always been fascinated by people like him who are able to start from something very small and have the vision to, you know, to grow it into something truly remarkable and admirable. And I'm pretty sure that I could do that within my 6 degrees. In fact, I know I could. I think within probably 2 degrees. And I don't have a concrete plan of doing that right now, but I could do it within 2 degrees.
I was going to say, if he's in Minneapolis and that's where you're at, I would imagine it's not going to take that many reaches for that to actually happen. So,
yeah, right.
I hope that you do jump in and take that and you know, conquer that opportunity, because it sounds like a huge learning opportunity and a great person to have as part of your network as well.
Yeah. And again, you know, being the average of the five people that you spend the most time with, you know, or an average of your network, you know, he would be a great person to rub elbows with occasionally. So.
Absolutely. All right. So, you know, as a business owner, I'm sure you can relate with this. We're always trying to better ourselves and better our business. And oftentimes we're doing that by reading books or listening to audiobooks. So what book are you reading right now?
Yeah, right now I am reading a very fascinating book called Influence, The Power of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. He's kind of made it his life's work to study from a little more scientific perspective and using how it is that certain things influence us more than others, and what are some of the things behind that. And I started it here just a little bit ago, but it's been really fascinating to hear him write about how, in particular, one example of the power of reciprocity. Like, if you give someone a gift of your time, or give any type of a gift, whether it's unsolicited or solicited, that there's just this really powerful impulse in each of us to give that gift back in some way. You know, it's like as soon as someone gives us a gift, we have that strong pull to give something back to them, and that can be a very powerful influencer over people's behaviors. And hearing him describe it as a very, very instrumental marketing perspective, and also even like a networking from a networking perspective on how you can leverage that to get more business, or to open up more doors for you and your business.
Well, and absolutely. I mean, that's so true, and I'm really intrigued. And it sounds, I mean, psychology and sociology is just how people function. I think I'm going to have to add that to my reading list, which is getting quite long.
Yeah, so, I would recommend it.
But there's so much truth to it. You know, it's better to give than to receive is really what kind of the golden rule there is. As far as, well, do unto others, you know, so giving, people will give back. I mean, there's so many different lessons, I'm sure, within that one simple single lesson there that's being offered. So fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. All right. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting their network?
Yeah, I think really just, being deliberate and strategic, and like we talked a little bit about earlier, there is that I had that I haven't really implemented myself yet, but that I'm curious to try is actually going back to an older technology, just pulling out the phone book, pulling out the yellow pages, and just seeing if in like broad network, if we know somebody in each of the categories of the phone book, you know, whether it be an auto mechanic, or whether it be a contractor or whether it be anything from a handyman to a web developer to someone who fixes jewelry to whatever it might be, any of these different categories, it can be if it's something that sort of has any tangential application to our lives, it would be an interesting exercise to see how many people actually know, and whether or not it's a spot that we need to fill. And it's a category, it's already nicely categorized. It covers pretty much everything. And I think it would probably be a pretty good test to determine how extensive our network actually is.
That is an interesting exercise. I'm going to kind of try to outline that a little bit in the show notes as well. So really just kind of figuring out those categories that as far as like service or product offering goes, I would say. Do you have someone that kind of fits that spot? And if not, I would imagine you could actually utilize your network to try to fill those spots.
Yeah.
Oh, that is really insightful. Thanks for sharing that one. All right, Jeremy. So if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Yeah, there are multiple ways, like we talked about earlier. Again, probably the easiest and fastest is just over email. Jeremy.bear@textonengineers.com. And then you can also reach me through my company phone line, 952-300-3340, or you can look me up on LinkedIn too.
All right, and we will include all of that information in the show notes. Jeremy, thanks a lot for being on the show today.
Lori, yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a good time. So this is a great service you're providing to your clients and to your listeners.
Yep, just want to share the good word about networking with the world here. So this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Jeremy Bear for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.